turn it off now? You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Thursday night at this time, it's our time right here in the studio, live right here. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. We're happy to be here. Absolutely. I'm Mama Mac, and with me is the famous Dr. Angel Falzone, PhD, licensed mental health counselor, and of course, our engineer Pete from time to time adds some wonderful little insights.
How you doing?
We're doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy Thursday.
Yeah, it's been a really super busy week. But
got some breaking news coming down. You're a baseball fan. A lot of people out there being baseball fans. The
yes.
Tampa Bay Rays have officially announced that they have accepted the proposal by Hillsborough County for the site in Ybor City. So hopefully we find out who's going to pay for it next.
But oh my gosh, that's
the breaking
great.
News. So they
hey,
like
that's kind of cool.
They like the site in Ybor City, basically.
Do they?
That's yes, they
interesting.
Do. Yes.
Hmm. Okay.
So it's close. It's close to Orlando, and it's in Tampa,
yeah.
and it's in downtown. So
they might get more people from the Orlando area.
I think they will. I think that's what they're looking at.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That's what you have to look at this point. That's how you have to treat it. So.
Well, that's great. Great news. And we still don't have Evan Longoria, do we?
No, we don't. We don't. And that's okay.
It's hopefully been we'll get somebody.
20-year anniversary, and unfortunately, probably the Rays are going to be probably as bad as an expansion team next year.
Oh, that is just not good news.
It's not.
All right. But this show, Go Yard, means hitting a home run in life. And even though we don't have good news for our home team, we have good news about all the people that are affected by our show week after week, which
oh, yes,
is a good
we do.
Thing.
Yes, it is.
It's a good thing. And we're getting a little feedback in here, Pete. I don't know why. Just kind of boom, boom, coming back at us. Okay. Still there. No, a little better. A little better. Okay. And last week we finished a series, did we not, on how does your past affect your present?
Yes, we did.
Because it does affect our present,
yes,
does it not?
Yes, it does.
It certainly does. And so that was a three-part series, and actually four, because we did a rerun on regret right in the middle of it that fit in perfectly. So four shows right there. Go to Tan Talk Pod, TanTalkNetwork.com. Go to podcasts, and then go to Go Yard so you can catch up on the shows you've missed. And tell them about our website, GoYard2014.org.
Oh, we have a website. It's
at
goyard2014.org. And on our website, you'll find all of our shows that we have. They're chronicled. They're listed by title, so you have a general idea what they're about. And they're a great resource for you to go back and listen to.
3.5 years of doing this show every single week, and we've got a lot of topics on our website and here on TanTalkNetwork.com podcast. So, you know, the whole goal is to tell people about the show so they can know that they can have some free life coaching, free counseling right
yes.
here.
Yes, and I think it's awesome that they're titled because then you'll kind of get an idea what that is. So when you're going through something, you're like, oh, I can find that show to meet my need right now in this moment.
Exactly.
And we have so many that we probably have maybe several even on the top if you're looking for.
Oh, gosh. There's hardly... Can you give like five examples of stuff that's out there?
Oh, my gosh.
The very first series we did was on domestic violence.
Domestic violence.
And it's in the headlines all the time now.
It sure is. We've done relationships, parenting, anxiety, depression. We've done substance abuse. We've done boundaries, like... Anything that can be impacting your life, we probably have a show on it.
Right. So go to goyard2014.org and our website and hit radio shows, and you're going to see them all there by title, which is really cool. So tonight we're starting a new series, Dr. Angel, and it comes from, as so many of our series do, situations in our lives and people we know that are close to us that are struggling with things. And right now this topic is teens... out of control.
Yes, it is.
Out of control. And, you know, most people either have some teens or know some teens or ever once was a teen, perhaps. You know, and so here we are talking about the problems with teenagers. And I think in this particular day and age, it's even harder to deal with teens than it was when my kids were teens. I'm venturing to bet.
No, I agree with you there. I think there's a lot more pressures, but there's also a lot more media and risks and vulnerabilities
exactly,
for our teens today than there was, you know, even a decade ago. I mean, so I think today's teens are really faced with a lot.
You know, back when I was a teenager, which was way before you were one, but life was pretty safe, I guess is the word I want to say. I mean, as a kid, before my parents, we moved to Central America. Before that, I would ride my bike, you know, be out for hours at a time around my grandparents' neighborhood and had friends, and they didn't worry about us or anything like that. There's been so many major changes as far as safety, I believe.
Oh, yes.
In the last few years, don't you think?
Oh, yes, absolutely there has. You know, I grew up being the generation of when children started going missing and all those foundations were started and, you know, the little white vans had the bad kidnappers in them or, you know, things like that. And so, and then, you know, it just keeps growing. I mean, every day in the headlines, we hear another story of a child missing or this something bad happened or kids bullying them on social media and they committed suicide. Like, we hear stuff about teens multiple times a day.
Well, and that's a good example of some things that are happening to teens. They have become, a lot of them, bullies and gone after kids that maybe have some personality quirk or they look a little funny or maybe they have a physical disability or whatever. And I guess there's just a whole lot of meanness, I guess, is what I want to say. It just seems like that with the
that
teens
would be true.
In this day and age.
Very brutal.
And so it's something that we really want to talk about. And... Pete, you don't have any teens.
I don't have what?
You don't have any teenagers, but you...
I don't have any. I don't have any kids at all.
But you were a teenager at one point.
I was, yes.
And isn't life different now for teens than back when you were a kid?
Most definitely. Everything is different now.
Yes,
Seems like it's more... I don't know. It's not as innocent as it used to be.
That's exactly right.
And maybe that's my perception.
No,
but
you're
that's exactly right. That's how I feel like it. The music, the art, everything else... Even parenting to a certain degree, I'm not faulting parents. I know they do the best that they can. But I think there were so many young parents having kids that they didn't necessarily learn how to grow up and learn how to parent themselves.
Absolutely.
So that's why you have what you have right now in society. I think that's absolutely spot on.
That's a good insight. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Parents are full of hopes and dreams for their kids when they're born, don't you think?
Oh, yes, they are.
I mean, I remember that, you know, looking at my little babies, you know, and as they begin to grow, you wonder what they're going to be when they grow up and how they're going to act or if they're going to get married or not married or if they're going to have kids, if you're going to have ever going to have grandkids or whatever. I remember all those thoughts as a young parent, you know, do you?
Oh, absolutely. I think they're even, you know, grand thoughts of, you know, my child being, you know, something major like the first woman president
Yeah.
You know, doing a big accomplishment. We want to think that about our kids when they're, you know, we're holding them when they're first born. You know, no parent wakes up and is just like, oh, you know, I just have this little baby. I really hope they're a really crappy, out of control teenager. Like, that just doesn't happen.
You don't think that happens?
No.
You don't think that parents want or grandparents want their kids to be really misfits or...
Oh, no. You know,
parents... Or bad in society or criminals.
No.
Of course not.
Not at all.
And I think that's a really good point. So we all come into this as parents and grandparents a lot of times without prior knowledge of how to take care of children, babies. You know, I was pretty young. 25, I guess, is not as young. I have a granddaughter. She was a lot younger than that when her twins were born. And a lot of times we are pretty young when we start families. And maybe without a basic instruction manual, you know, babies don't come with that. There's
no instruction manual when they...
Yeah.
But, you know, parents start with good intentions. They really do.
Yeah.
The problem is good intentions isn't enough sometimes. And things go awry very quickly sometimes.
Well, I don't know if you remember this as a young parent having kids, maybe friends at church or some other social thing where you interacted with your peers and as they were parenting their kids. Or I remember my ex-husband and I inviting friends over and they had little kids and we noticed differences in how we handled a discipline issue with our kids or how they did or how that other child was babied or, you know, made to feel like they were the star of the universe or, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I mean, people handle their children in different ways.
Very differently. And sometimes even within the home, there's a huge difference between
the way
mothers and fathers, they're not even, you know, together coherently parenting. It happens all the time.
Well, and sometimes there's a favorite. Now, parents will usually tell you, I don't have a favorite. I love all my children the same. But when one child or two children out of 10, let's say, or six or three, are treated more favorably, are put on a pedestal, are displayed as this is my son and look at him, you know, and the other kids are like, oh yeah, he has brothers and sisters. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're
saying. Don't you think that's a problem in a lot of American homes?
That is a problem and it happens, especially when one of the children are like really gifted athletically or academically and, you know, they're put on this huge pedestal because as parents, what do we want? We want our children a reflection of us and we want to look good.
Right.
So when we have that kid that's making us look good, we're going to give them extra attention and extra things and more support.
That's a really good point.
It reflects back on us.
Don't you think that's where a lot of the problems start then with kids? Because if they are singled out as the, wow, there's never been a kid as intelligent as you. There's never been one as cute as you. There's never been one that has got all this potential as you, son, or you, daughter, you're it. Wow, that's a recipe for tragedy.
Well, anytime we have, like, inequalities in a home, the way we're treating kids, you know, not equally, not meaning that we have to parent the kids exactly the same, but they should have the same amount of time and love and attention and resources.
Yes.
That's the equality we're looking for. Anytime there's those inequalities, what's a recipe for? Someone is going to get that attention, and when they don't get it doing the right thing,
they
go for it doing the wrong thing.
Okay, they certainly do. And that's where a lot of the problems start, don't you think? Is because that need for attention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the young parent that may be listening right now is having their first baby, you know, there's certain things to be really careful about in this event, in the stuff we're talking about right now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you have that young child, you want to be setting boundaries. You want to be able to say no and stick to it. You want to have consistency in your rules and consequences. When they're one, when they're two, when they're three, the more we can do that, the more problems we are avoiding at those great teenage years for that child.
Well, and I know I've given this example before on the air, but it bears repeating. When my first child was about 4.5 months old, a neighbor of mine, an older lady, grandmother, she came over and we were visiting, I don't know, having a Coke or something. And she said, well, you know, how often do you guys leave him? Would you like for me to babysit once in a while? And I said, oh, no, we've never left him. You know, 4.5 months old, we've never left him. What do you mean you've never left him? Oh, well, no, we stay home. I mean, oh, so he's got you to the point you stay home with him all the time? Oh, yeah, yeah. Or we take him with us every place we go. And I mean, she lectured me up one side and down the other about how not good that was for the baby. And if you think you're protecting them and keeping them safe, And I mean, I learned a huge lesson right then. And she started babysitting for us. And then gradually, as the other kids came along, it was so much easier just to say, yeah, I'm getting a babysitter for the afternoon and I'm going to go play golf, which I did right. once in a while. So you want to talk about that?
No, you actually bring up a great point, because when they're little, it's very easy to let that child kind of control the whole house.
Exactly.
And, you know, our schedules are now circling around what the child wants and what the child needs. And the child is the center of this, our whole lives. And we can't have a child-centered environment in that degree and think we're not going to have problems down the road. We are. Because the truth is, the child isn't the center of the world.
Right.
And they do have to learn their own limits. And they have to learn that it's not all about them. And they have to learn that they are not entitled, that there's a difference between entitlement and privileges. And
yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about that in detail
when we
here.
Have them at 1, 2, 3, 4, and everything has to focus on that person, we are setting ourselves up for a big problem later on. And we do it with good intentions.
Oh, yeah. No, we want that child to feel special. We want them to know how much mom and dad love them, and on and on and on. Don't you think so often when we do that, we really are denying time a lot of times with the spouse?
Oh, yeah.
The spouse is affected when mama's got the baby or two babies attached to her hip. All
Absolutely.
The time, everywhere she goes, right?
Well, we're not only denying our partner time, we're denying our self-care, we're denying friendships, we're mm-hmm. denying things that we need to help us grow and nurture us as individuals, too. And so it really impacts our lives in a lot of ways. A lot of marriages get destroyed through the child-rearing process.
Oh, absolutely, they do. Yeah. And so I think, that having been a parent and a grandparent here for a long time, I think that kids sense that they've got the upper hand.
Oh, they know.
They sense at a young age that they are in charge. They're large and in charge. You know what I mean?
Oh, they know. Trust me, they know, and they want that power, because it's one of the natural development milestones. And we're talking to the toddler ages. They're very all about me, and they want their power. They're trying
sure.
to learn to do stuff for themselves. And I've watched little three-year-olds. I'm the boss. And they are. They are. They
yeah,
say,
they
jump
are.
That parents, getting them what they want, how they want it. Absolutely.
And in the mind of the parent, what are they thinking when they do they even realize what's happening with that child?
No, they want to be able to keep giving their kids what their kids want. And a lot of times parents who had childhoods where they didn't get the things that they
yes.
felt like they wanted
yes.
or needed are really guilty of this, because they're going to give their child everything that child wants. Everything that child desires, because I don't ever want my child to feel like I felt. But what we're doing is we're hurting our children in that process.
And why are parents so blind or deaf to that principle? Because I believe that's one of the major, what you just identified right there, I don't know what you want to call that. There's got to be a name for that, where we absolutely don't want to deprive our kids of anything. I didn't have it. I want them to have it.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so what we're doing is we have a generation of just overindulged kids.
Right. Exactly.
And they really are overindulged. Like, it's, you know, I remember Christmas when I was little, you know, you got maybe two or three gifts. Now
sure.
you go to people's
Absolutely.
Homes, like, these kids are getting 25 different presents under the tree, or, you know, it's just an overindulgement that's happening.
It totally is. And as a result of that, then these kids expect that, and they
yes.
expect more. They don't expect less, you know.
And here's the thing, you know, our home environment is to set us up for life as an adult and functioning in society. And when we think everything works on our schedule and our timetable, when we think everything we want should be given to us, when we start having those thoughts, how are we going to function in life? Because that's not how life works.
That is not how life
at
works.
All.
But don't you think that's a big problem in the last 30, 40 years, in
yes.
particular in this country, that kids grow up expecting that it always goes their way. Mom or dad always gives in. They always get what they want. They just have to manipulate and learn to, you know, just move everything around enough and scream and holler enough and cause enough problems that everybody wants there to be peace in the house. So they just give in and buy the 16-year-old the car that he doesn't need the day he gets his license.
Absolutely.
Et cetera.
All that kind of stuff. And it happens. And what happens is it becomes a bigger and bigger mess. The more they're giving their kids, the more their kids want, the more it gets to a behavioral mess. The kids don't even respect their parents, really don't even like their parents by that point. Like, it's, they can get very mean. I mean, I've watched kids totally come in and berate that parent like they were a piece of, you know.
But why? I mean, I'll give you a case in point. One of my children, his oldest child, was, he gave her a car. It was worth about $5,000, a little VW Jetta. Nice car, good condition. Within a couple of years, it was totally trashed and wrecked and, you know, never cared for. So he said to the two sons coming up, you know what? I learned from that. I was wrong. I did not make her even make a payment, fix anything, do anything. I'm not doing that again. So for both of his sons, they had to earn their own money. They had to buy their own car. They had to maintain their own car. Both of them have done that successfully, have maintained their cars beautifully, have upgraded to another car when they could afford it, and he didn't pay for anything.
Well, and that's just it. He taught his sons the life lesson of we work for what we have and how to take care of the things because we value those things. When things are given to us, we don't learn to take care of it.
No.
You know, I watch the kids, even little, with their toys, and they're throwing them and huffing them. Mom will buy me a new one. If it breaks, it's okay.
Right.
No, that's not. We need to be teaching our kids how to take care of their things and how to work for their things. I mean, there's a whole parenting paradigm out there that believes you shouldn't even, kids shouldn't even be doing chores or anything.
What?
They are
no
supposed
way.
To be children.
No way.
So here I have all these transitional adults that come into therapy who have no idea how to wash their clothes, no idea how to make anything for themselves, no idea how to pick up after themselves. And they're adults and they're having babies. And we have a problem.
That's exactly right. We have a problem. And a lot of them don't, like you said, don't even know how to do their own laundry.
They don't know how to
clean their own room or their bathroom or whatever. And they don't, they've not been taught. And so it's just a recipe for disaster.
I mean, literally in therapy, I've had to go to transitional adults home and say, okay, here's toilet bowl cleaner. Put it in the toilet. Here's a brush. Teach them how to just clean their bathroom. That was our therapy because they had zero life skills.
Wow.
Because, you know, we don't want to make our kids do work. That's not okay. But that's the problem. We got to get back out of that. Think about when you're raising your kids, you have to keep the end goal in mind at all times. And that end goal is for that person to be a responsible, caring adult that's self-sufficient.
And that can get out and get a job and maintain a home.
And have a happy life.
Right.
And so when you think about, is this okay for my kid? Think about, is this fostering what life really teaches? Cause and effect, work for what you have, taking care. Think about those principles of life because no one's handing you everything you want and giving it to you on a silver platter. You're showing up to work on a time because that's when your boss wants you there, not when it's convenient for you.
Exactly. And it's a possibility, and I know you're going to say it could be, so I won't ask you if it is because it could be. It's a possibility that part of the drug culture is people trying to escape life and just, you know, kind of floating along and not having to see about responsibility because they detest responsibility because they've never had any.
Well, that it absolutely is
could
a part
be. Oh,
of
it
the
is
drug
a part.
Culture.
Oh, you're going to say it
but
is.
But another part, what I'm noticing is because kids have been given so much stuff, they don't have joy anymore. I get everything I want, so what do I look forward to? There's no joy. There's no pleasure. And they're trying to find that. They want that feeling.
Right.
So they go to drugs.
And don't you think that people that work for things, even an adult that works in a company and sees somebody, I want a promotion someday, I want to do that job, that it's good for people to have to work towards a goal?
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing more beneficial for someone to have to work from the bottom up because you appreciate what you have then. You know, when people are just come out of college and they're given this top-ranking position that they haven't earned, they don't do well with it.
No, they really don't. We're going to have to go to break right here, and we're going to come back in a few minutes and talk more about teens out of control.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
All right. A bridge over troubled water.
There you go.
Right? That good old classic.
Classic.
We're talking about a new troubled water tonight because we have all these series on Go Yard, and this is part one of our new series. And I'm Mama Mac along with Dr. Angel, and we are discussing teens that are out of control. And we believe this is a problem, especially in America, and probably is in some other countries, too. It's probably not just America.
Probably not.
Yes. My nephews and I were talking yesterday about their little kids that are under the age of five that can navigate all around a smartphone now. And I have grandkids that can do that, too, under the age of five. And that's, like, totally crazy, don't you think?
I think so, too.
So these kids in this day and age now are growing up with expectations of toys, of technical equipment, and everything that we never did. Me especially, because I'm older than you, but that we never ever thought about having.
No, we didn't. And it is definitely an overindulged culture. I mean, I'm hearing parents that'll take their kids to three birthday parties on one Saturday.
Oh, absolutely.
We just go party to party to party. Or we're in soccer and baseball and karate and, like, their whole life.
Their whole life is scheduled up.
Yeah.
That is crazy. And it is that way for a lot of families across America. When we talk about soccer moms and they've got every kid in a different league and they've got this one doing this and this one doing that and... Yeah.
No limits. Boundaries.
Just, oh, you want to do that? Okay, then we'll do that. Oh, it costs $50? Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, we'll do it because you want to do it, right?
And so raising our kids with no limits and no boundaries backfires about when they hit the teen years because now they have more ability to freedom and they have more ability to things and they don't want those limits. They haven't had them before.
Right.
So why should we have them now? The problem is they're out there getting themselves into all kinds of trouble and wreaking havoc.
And I think probably a lot of American homes don't have a set curfew for their kids, too, which gets them home at a certain time. But a lot of times they're out causing all kinds of trouble.
They are.
And you made a little list here of despite parents' best efforts, it's possible for a lot of teens to do the following. You want to read that you put together?
Absolutely.
I think it's excellent.
So some of the negative behaviors I'm seeing come to me in therapy are the verbally and physically abusive. I have kids that will talk to their parents like they are dirt.
Right.
I have kids that are hitting on their moms, hitting on their dads, raising right. their fists, trying to strangle them with the vacuum cord. Like, I get a lot of court-ordered kids, and these are some of the things that are happening.
Really?
13, 14-year-old kids. And it's not just the boys. It's the girls, too. So the violence in the home is happening. And a lot of times parents are very shameful about that violence that they try to keep it hidden.
So they don't tell you when
they
bring their kid in for help. They're not calling the police.
They're not getting help. They're not getting intervention.
And I know why they don't want to call the police because I've heard it so much in my people I know. We don't want Johnny to have a police record. After all, it could affect him getting into college or military or whatever
Absolutely.
He wants to, right?
And so most of the time the police will get called when it escalates to the point the neighbors hear it.
Right.
The neighbors are calling the police. And then they're forcing something to happen. So there's a lot of homes with teens committing violence against their families, their siblings, all kinds of stuff.
And you know and I know of kids that actually, you said hit on, but I mean really hurt their parents.
Punch on them. I mean, I had a kid totally take the vacuum cord and try and strangle his mother. I've had them pull knives. Like,
well,
it was nothing.
I know a kid this week who threatened to kill his mother because he didn't get what he wanted when he wanted it. And he said, you just watch. I'm going to kill you. You know, that is scary stuff, it Dr. Angel. Scary. This is reality in America right now.
It is. It really is. And then you'll see on the headline stories of the kids who cause really big damage to their families or kill their parents or do something. I mean, those are stories. That happens. Right. But there's a lot of homes with that physical and verbal violence in it. A lot of our teens will be diving into the dark worlds of drugs and alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one. And sometimes some of these are all going on together. They're not just this or this. It could be multiple of these behaviors.
Don't you think a lot of times it is? They get started. Mm-hmm. And like, for instance, drugs, they get started and then they have to have more. And then they start robbing things or stealing or, you know, there's so many things that can go together with
there
all
is.
This.
And there's things that are happening in the culture that I think our parents aren't even aware of. So when we think of drugs, you know, parents are all thinking, oh, cocaine, marijuana, you know, heroin, like the big drugs. But our kids are finding everyday household chemicals and using those as drugs. They have a practice called skittling. It's where everyone brings old prescription bottles from their family's houses. They take all the pills and dump them in a bowl, mix it up, and you just take a handful. You have no idea what you're getting.
Oh, my gosh.
You're getting blood pressure medicine, heart medication.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't
you're
know
kidding.
Which. And they do skittling. And that's a party thing for our teens to do skittling activities. And so when they overdose on this, they go to the hospital. They can't be treated because no one knows what the heck they have in their system. So it's really dangerous.
And the rationale for this as a kid?
Oh, I don't think there is a rationale. I mean, they're eating Tide Pods for crying out loud. I mean, anything they can get their hands
Detergent
on.
Tide Pods.
Yes. There was a child on the other coast of Florida who did the boiling water challenge, which was you were supposed to suck boiling water through a straw. Well, she ended up dying. They're coming up with these crazy challenges and doing them. And as parents, we need to be aware of that, what's happening.
Wow. And when you allow them just to be out there for hours at a time, unsupervised or...
Without a plan.
They get bored.
They get in trouble. And so, you know, you got to get the mindset off that drugs is just those street things. Oh, they could never get that. No, they can use everyday stuff in your home. I mean, they've done whippets with the whipping cream containers where the stuff that foams up, they like take the chemical out of those. They call it whippets and it gets them high. Like whipping cream, who would think? They're using all kinds of stuff to find a high,
right.
Mixing all kinds of stuff. And then if you think about like... a lot of the synthetic drugs we're seeing are just a mixture of everyday stuff in our home.
Wow.
Cold medicines, triple C's, are taking all kinds of cold medicine and getting high off of that. I mean, you would be surprised at what they can get their hands on and use for drugs.
So the peer pressure of being into a group that does crazy things and lives on the edge is huge for our teens in America right now, I think.
Huge risk-taking behaviors are happening.
Risk-taking behaviors is a good way to put it.
If you're a parent with a teen and you have alcohol in your home, lock it up and keep it in a safe. I've watched teens steal their parents' alcohol, fill those bottles back up with water. The parent doesn't drink a lot, so they have no idea.
No idea.
And they're getting alcohol poisoning or getting, you know, starting a bad habit for themselves. Keep it locked up. You should not have it in their access. You shouldn't have your medications. Tylenol should not be in a teen's access.
Right. So all these things should be under lock and key.
They really should be in lock and key.
In
this day and age. I see a lot of parents let their kids self-administer their own medications. No, there's still need to have accountability and responsibility because...
Oh, a lot of them sell things, too,
for
something else.
Pills. I can't tell you the number of kids that came to me for selling their ADHD medication.
Right, absolutely.
And then they grind it up and snort it, and, like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. There's a lot out there, so don't be naive.
Right. But don't you think parents really basically are naive? Unless they have been one of those that was an addict themselves, and you lived it, and in that culture, perhaps, maybe they're a little more aware. I don't know.
They might be a little more aware, but a lot of times people really downplay the other items as being considered drugs.
Okay.
And so they really think of drugs as those, you know, the big ones, the cocaines, the heroines, you know, and there's a lot of things that can be drugs.
Right.
And your prescription medication can be drugs for our kids. So you can't afford to be naive. And when you start seeing behavioral changes, that's a huge thing. When you see huge mood swings, that's a flag. Something's really happening with
your kid. Well, that's a huge point right there. Go back and say that again because I'm going to ring the bell. That's
huge. When
you
start seeing really big mood swings with your child, that's a huge indication something's happening.
That's huge. I really believe that. Because so often parents would say, well, I just wasn't aware. I didn't see it. I didn't know what to look for. And right. you're saying the mood swings.
Mood swings is a big one. So they can, like, you know, drop on a dime. One minute they're happy. The next minute they're screaming and yelling at you. And right. you're like, what happened in between that? Maybe they're starting to sleep all day or stay up all night. Like, these are any change of those patterns.
Problem with a stay up all night problem with teens, is. Right?
Those are change of patterns are always flags that something's happening, and you need to be aware of that.
Right.
To help protect your kid. Dropping out of school, that's another one. And a lot of kids have dropped out, and their parents have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because and what kids just are savvy.
Yeah. So they are just acting like they're going to school, but they're not even there.
So here in our county, schools contact their parents when kids don't go. They send a voice message. And so what the kids have learned is they can go online and change that phone number to their phone number so the parent's not getting the message. And then they just don't go to school.
You got to be kidding.
I cannot tell you the number of kids I've had walk through my door that do that. And the parents have no idea.
Wow.
And so they have, I have a kid who hasn't been to school in over 3 months and the parent had no idea.
So they just lie to the parent when you get your homework done. Yeah, it's all done. Did it in study hall. Yeah, right.
Yep. And so dropping out is a big one, and it's going to impact their life. I mean, if we don't have a high school education, we're not going anywhere in this day and age.
No.
And so, you know, just that accountability of school. So get involved. You need to know, is my kid going to school? Get on those portal accounts. Look at those grades. Look at those things. You have to be active.
Do you think there's a lot of parents that don't look at those?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're kidding me.
Especially when kids get to high school. They just feel like, they're not a baby anymore. If they want good grades, they'll make good grades. I'm just going to let them do their thing.
Really?
I mean, I get parents who come to me with 13-year-olds and they think they're already raised. I'm already done raising her. I'm like, you haven't really even started because this is the hard part.
Yeah.
But they think it's over by the time they're self-sufficient. Now they can, do a few things for themselves. They have more independence and the parent thinks, my job isn't as important right now.
Wow. Really?
Absolutely. I don't care if kids in high school, you need to be involved with that school. If that's checking their portal accounts, if that's going down and meeting with teachers, whatever that is, we need accountability. Our kids need accountability.
And when parents find out a child has a bad, they're really bad in their grades, what should they do? Let's talk about that a minute.
Well, we can talk about it. So first of all, if our child's having bad grades, the first thing we need to do is find out why, what's happening. You know, and a lot of schools will do full-on conferences. So if your kid has 6 or 7 different teachers, you can ask for a full-on conference with every teacher at the same time and bring that child and let's talk about what's happening in this class, what's happening in that class. You can look, those portal accounts that I talk about, they're online accounts. It's the teacher's grades books. So you'll see what's been turned in, what grade they've had, what's missing, what's late. That gives you a whole lot of information
about
how your child look at those tools. Use those tools. If you don't know if you're in Pinellas County, you don't know how to get into portal, go down to any school. They'll give you your parent password and they'll show you how to do it.
Right.
And a lot of other counties are using that now and a lot of places are using
it's
those.
Excellent. Yeah, because it's accountability.
And it is accountability, but most parents, when I went to open house for my 9th grade son going into high school, there was a handful of parents there. They just don't think they need to participate. You know, when they're going into kindergarten, every parent's there almost. But by the time they're going into high school, the parents just aren't as engaged in that education for their kids.
Wow. This is a big part of the problems, why teens are out of control. That's what we're talking about right now.
Exactly.
So we're talking about the fact that parents a lot of times like to say, especially if they're not getting along good with their spouse, well, it's all because of him or it's all because of her. And they're not engaged with their kids.
They're not
engaged.
That's what I hear. They start taking engagement back around the teen years. We have teens joining gangs.
Right.
There's lots of gangs, and people think, that's only an inner city thing. Baloney, that's not only an inner city thing. I've, been a part of working with kids in a lot of gangs just here in our local area, and we're definitely not huge inner city. This isn't a New York or Chicago thing. This is everywhere. There are gangs everywhere. And
the dangers there from those gangs and how they absolutely can abuse other kids.
Oh, absolutely. The crimes, the abuse, the substances. I mean, that goes without saying.
You and I know somebody whose son was severely hurt, right? Walking home from school. You don't have to mention names, of course, but do you remember that story? That was like 6 months ago.
Yes. And so, and that wasn't even a gang. That was just a kid that beat the snot out of him for talking to the wrong girl.
Oh, ho. Okay.
You know, and that's what's happening. And that's what's happening. These kids have, like, no remorse for their actions. I'm taking no responsibility. Running away. We have a lot of kids who just... And running away is an unauthorized absence. So that's running away. So even if they're coming home at night, then you don't know where they are from 3 o'clock to 10 o'clock. They're running away. If you have not given them permission to be where they're at and they're not there... That's considered running away.
But so many people, I think so many parents have abdicated their parental authority, and they don't want to come down hard on Junior or on her or whoever, because they want them to learn to fend for themselves, right? And in a lot of ways, it's just abdicating their own parental authority.
They're giving their power away. A lot of parents do, and they don't realize they're doing it. They think that it's in the name of independence or being a teenager now, and it's not. Teens still need accountability and responsibility. They still need parents to know where they are, and they should still be asking for permission to do things, not telling you I'm doing this.
Oh, that just goes all through me when I hear that. I'm going here, and I'll be home at this time. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Don't you think that's a huge problem in America right now?
Absolutely. Yeah. They just feel that entitlement to just dictate what they're going to do instead of ask.
Right.
You know, I was just on the phone with my sister today, and she was calling and telling me about, you know, her daughter said, you need to do this, or you need to do that, or you need to bring me this. And I'm like, well, why is that okay to talk to you like that? How about,
it's not
can
okay.
you please?
It, yeah.
And it's not. And that's the problem. But they don't think about that. They're just going to go do it because they don't want the backlash of, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you didn't do that for me, or, you know, whatever comes out of
because
that.
Because so often teens use texting or whatever as weapon against a parent. I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to put on Facebook what you're really like. Mm-hmm. You know, and if everybody only knew what you're like, Mom, you know.
Well, and parent shaming teams absolutely will use that because it works.
Yeah.
Parents don't want to have a bad image of their kid or themselves. And so I don't want it to be public that my child's not doing well. So I'm going to do anything I can to hide that problem.
To keep them happy.
To keep them happy and hide the problem.
Wow, this is huge. I think we are just uncovering a whole lot of things to talk about in the next couple weeks. And, you know, this whole thing of... You said this running away from home and how they can actually be a runaway but yet come home and sleep in their bed.
Mm-hmm.
Go back over that a moment.
Yeah, so running away is really considered any unauthorized absence. So anytime a kid is not where they're supposed to be without permission, they're running away because that's what runaway is considered. Here there's certain time periods depending on our child, but a lot of our kids meet the criteria of any unauthorized absence. Otherwise, it could be up to 3 hours is considered running away, too, depending on the age of the kid and some other factors. But the thing is I've had 12-year-olds leave for 4 days at a time. Caregiver had no idea where that person was. I had a 13-year-old girl who would get off the bus every day and go hang out at some friend's house. Caregiver had no idea where she was. She would come popping them home at 11 o'clock at night.
And how is that okay?
And how is it okay?
It's not.
It's not. And the problem is the dangers that are out there are
so severe.
Okay, so
I hear you saying is not only are kids in control at this time in America, but they really have no respect for their parents' authority whatsoever. A lot of them. Not everyone.
There's a lot of kids who do not have respect for any authority, let alone their parents' authority. And it's a problem that starts when they're 1, 2, 3, and 4. And the thing is as a parent, it's easy to let that 1, 2, 3, or 4-year-old tell you no. Oh, it's cute. He told me no. No, we can't make that cute because we're setting a stage for this lack of respect and honor of authority, the lack of believing the rules apply to them.
I remember when one of my children was like 15, 18 months old, and I remember saying, no, don't touch that. And she was standing up at the ottoman that we had, and there was something there that was her brother's, and she was trying to get to it and was trying to mess with it. And I remember saying, don't do that. Did it anyway. Don't do it. I said no. Did it anyway. This went on for several minutes. And then I began to realize, wait a minute, she really does not care whether I say no or not. She's going to do whatever. And actually, I go back to that memory because that started a whole series of events in her life where she really didn't care what I thought or what anybody said. She was going to do whatever she wanted to. And it has to be broken young, doesn't
yes.
it? And you want to address that? Because I think a lot of parents have these 4-year-olds and 8-year-olds that are out of control, let alone teenagers.
They do, because I see a lot of them. And so what happens is parents kind of have this feeling like, I can give, you know, the younger the kid, the more freedom I can give, because there's less trouble for them really to have that's going to make a difference. But the problem, and then they become teens and all of a sudden they're out of control and the parent wants to bring those reins back in and set limits. And the kid's like, yeah, not happening. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to happen on those terms for the most part. And so we can't do that. Those limits, those principles start the day your parenting starts with that child.
That's
and
right.
We're setting that stage. I mean, I've watched a little 3-year-old sitting in my office and she wanted to touch my sand thing. And the mom's like, no, you can't touch her sand thing. And the little girl's like going for it. And the mom's like, no. And the little girl just turned around and smacked her mother across the face. And mother didn't do anything to address it. And I had to address
whoa,
that, of course, because I'm
whoa.
Like, that's not okay. We have a 3-year-old smacking her mom and no addressing this issue. That's not okay, because that's going to be a 13-year-old punching you in the face.
That's exactly right. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I can't tell you the number of parents who have admitted getting
sobering.
Hit from their kids.
This is very sobering. I mean, it is a reality. This is mm-hmm. where we live, and we are doing this series just because we feel like it's important. And I'm as we're doing this tonight, I am very aware that it's more important than I even realized.
It is absolutely important. And I know, you know, I'm not here to sit and blame parents either, because it's not going to help. It's product. Our kids are part of our parenting, and they're part of their personality. I've seen a lot of really great parents who've had really great structure, and they still have an out-of-control teenager. And so it can happen. Kids have difficult temperaments sometimes, or difficult personalities, or maybe they have other things going on inside them, and they can kind of just run away with it. And that parent's like, where did I go wrong? Instead of thinking, you know, what's going on?
Or let's try to find a different
what's
approach.
What's the problem? Right. How can we fix this?
And some of the parents, I think, have been one of those runaway teenagers, you know, where they're just loose and out of control themselves. And then they have kids and they just think that's the way to be. And then I've known some that are just the opposite. They're very strict with their kids because they were a runaway, out-of-control teenager. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, that absolutely. I've watched the pendulum swing both ways with that. Some of them, like, felt the pain and the shame of their choice as a teen and never wanted their kids to feel that. So they have very firm, rigid boundaries. And then some of the runaways are just like these freelance parents that are just like, oh, they let them figure it out for themselves. I'm alive. It didn't hurt me.
Right.
I see a lot of parents who want to buddy up with their kids and be friends with their kids.
Yeah, be their buddy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's never a good thing.
Never.
Because we don't have a differential of authority, and kids need authority.
And so, you don't want to be hanging out with your kids' friends. I mean, that's like a problem right there.
It really is. Kids need to socialize with peers, and they do mm-hmm. need to socialize with their parents, but in a parental role, you know, trying
not
to be
being
the cool
one of the
one.
Kids. The,
exactly.
Oh, the cool parent that hangs out with the other girls, you know?
Another thing I see where parents will go wrong in the teen years is when their kids are confident. You know, they're going through a divorce or they're going through a hard time in life and they don't really have a lot of friends. So they're talking to that teen daughter about, you know, their boyfriends they're dating.
Oh,
or what's
a confidant.
Going. Yeah.
Oh, yes. And they're their friend. Just because they're a friend.
Right. But they're like giving these kids way too much more information than they ever need or
they
developmentally
don't need to know that
can
stuff.
Handle.
No. I have heard parents say, oh, yes, my 11-year-old daughter's my best friend.
Yes.
I have heard that. I cannot tell you how many times. And that is a recipe for disaster.
No. And then we can foster a close relationship, but it should not be friendship in that level at all. When our kids are adults and they have their own life, you know, a parent can foster that friendship because we're not parenting at that point at that same level. We're not that authority. Now they're their authority. They're an adult. And so we have to be careful with
that. But when a parent goes and tells details of a breakup or a divorce or an affair or something sexual or whatever, way out of line, folks, to do that, telling your kids those things.
I see a lot of parents who want to tell their kids all the bad things they did, you know, the parents did
as
kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, no, That's never going to be a good thing because when they start doing things and you're all shell shocked and how did they do this? And then they're going to throw it in your face. Well, this wasn't as bad as what you did. Dad.
That's right.
We don't need to divulge that. We really want our kids to think we were perfect kids in the regard of following the rules and doing the right thing because we want them to want to do those things too.
Life is a lot easier when our kids really want to be good and obey and that kind of stuff. And respect. I want to talk about that soon in this series because we've kind of touched on it tonight, but that is a huge part of raising a child, a teenager, that gets in less trouble, I believe, is respect.
It really is a core, and a cause and effect. And another one last thing I want to bring up is that I see parents do is they measure what their kids do against what they did. So if they were rough as a teen, not as bad as when I was 14 years old, so it must be okay. And that's not okay. A standard should not be a measurement against your history. You should have a standard. That's what an expectation standard
Absolutely.
Is.
And the problem is because our culture has changed so much in the last 20 years, you're not going to have the same problems and you're not going to be able to trust them as much because of that information technology issue where they can get a hold of pornography easier. They can get a hold of people that will invade their space and hurt them. These are all things we need to talk about, and they are real life issues.
Absolutely. There's going to be a lot to this one.
There is. This is, we're just barely touching the surface. We would love to hear from you, audience, and send in your questions if you have any. We'll do a question and answer soon. Or you can always call in during the show. But if you send in your questions, do it through the email so you can write as long as you want to. GoYard2014@gmail.com because we want to hear from you. This show will be heard again Saturday and Sunday of this weekend at 12 noon Eastern on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. And you can always go to TantalkNetwork.com after these shows and look at the podcast. Go to Go Yard, and you're going to find the shows right there because our wonderful engineer gets them up a few hours after the show. So, quick summary. What do you want to say tonight? Bullet points,
what I want to say is, I don't care how old your kid is at this point. If you have a child that's still under your authority, you need to be listening to this show. You need to get your friends listening to this show because we are talking about teens, but the teens start way early on. And so the quicker you can get some of these principles in, the less issues you will hopefully have down the future.
Absolutely.
You'll set yourself up better to not have these issues. And if you're a parent that's pulling your hair out and you're frazzled, there is hope. There is help. There's not a quick fix, but there is hope and help. And so things can get better. And just stay with the series.
Stay with us. Yes, stay with us. Tell a friend all about Go Yard. And as always, we invite you to go to our website, goyard2014.org. It's an ORG. And that's where a lot of our shows are after all these 3.5 years of amazing shows. And this is going to be a great series, very helpful to all parents, grandparents, people that know kids. Do you know any kids? Maybe you're not a parent, but you know kids. Or you have friends that have kids. So it's going to apply to everyone. Wow. Okay, we got to get out of here. And there we go. And who are you?
This is Dr. Angel.
And this is Mama Mac from Go Yard. And we'll see you again next week for part two of Teens Out of Control. See you.
Good night.
Come and take me to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old and up with the new. The heart reset my life, take two. Some